Broadcasting live from Traverse City, Michigan, this is the Progressive Technology Hour, and I'm your host, Bill Alec, and I'm here with my lovely producer, Aurora Light.
Hello, everybody.
Just to give you a little background about myself, I'm a degreed electrical engineer, and I currently do software consulting work for major corporations. That describes my day job. At night, I become Dr. Houdini, researcher, explorer, and experimenter in the world of exotic technologies. What are exotic technologies? Well, this includes such areas as free energy, gravity, anti-gravity control, and the study of nature of time and time travel. We'll explore not only the technology, but also the how-to part of the technology. So let's have some fun today and explore the world of exotic technologies. Folks, today I have a special guest with me, 911 researcher Dr. Judy Wood. Judy Wood is a former professor of mechanical engineering with research interest in experimental stress analysis, structural mechanics, optical methods, deformation analysis, and the materials characterization of biomaterials and composite materials. She is a member of the Society for Experimental Mechanics, SEM, co-founder of SEM's Biological Systems and Materials Division, and currently serves on the SEM Composite Materials Technical Division. Dr. Wood started to question the events of 9-1-1 on that same day when what she saw and heard on television was contradictory and appeared to violate the laws of physics. Since that day, she has used her knowledge of engineering mechanics to prove the collapse of the World Trade Center Twin Towers could not have happened as the American public was told. Judy, welcome to the show.
Hello. Well, thank you very much for having me.
Judy, the Bush administration claimed that burning jet fuel caused the collapse of the towers, but burning jet fuel doesn't burn hot enough to melt steel. So what really brought down those towers?
Well, I started looking at the evidence and totally different impression than the jet fuel story. For one thing, you see jets flying overhead, and you don't see any dripping of melted steel coming out of the jet or melted aluminum. I mean, how does a jet fly if jet fuel burns hot enough to melt things?
That's right.
The engine wouldn't work. Biggest thing is that you notice with looking at the images taken on that day, and there's thousands available, is... first question that comes to mind is, where did the buildings go? The rescue workers walked horizontally or rappelled down into empty caverns. So where did the material of 2 quarter-mile-tall buildings go?
That's right.
That's a lot of material.
So what is your theory, Judy, as to where it went?
Well, I know what I can eliminate from looking at the evidence. There was no gravity collapse from any means because the material did not hit the ground. If there were bombs in the building, I call that theory the bombs in the building theory, it just separates pieces, and they still have to land. The seismic data shows that much material did not slam to the ground.
I wondered about that, why the debris seems so small.
This is powder, and lots of powder, down the eastern seaboard. And it goes up into the upper atmosphere. Why does it go up?
What's the theory of what could possibly create that kind of destruction?
Well,
do you think it's like a particle beam weaponry type thing?
No, when I started looking at the data, I didn't know anything about high-tech weaponry. I just was into composite materials and, materials characterization. But looking at the data told me that energy weapons must exist. Directed energy weapons exist. And my definition of directed energy weapons is energy that's directed and is used as a weapon. It's not a kinetic energy device like a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
and very wide variety of things that could be available. We don't know everything that exists.
I've heard about people who just, you know, were fried alive, and there was no reason for them to be, and there wasn't anything left. There was like nothing left but ashes. And they'd be like sitting in a chair, and there'd be nothing left but ashes. The chair wasn't even burned.
I didn't.
Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah. I've heard one rumor.
Spontaneous combustion. Yeah, there's been lots of documented cases of that.
What I noticed is what happened did not seem to involve heat.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, ambient temperature. Actually, some of the first responders who were around when one of the towers went poof, that's how I described it. They go poof, they didn't collapse. It went away. And the dust cloud rolling down the street, remember the famous pictures of the guys running down the street with the dust cloud chasing them?
That's right.
When the dust cloud passed, rolled over them and passed, you didn't see burned bodies. You just saw people covered with dust.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it couldn't be hot. And the reports are that it was slightly cooler than ambient temperature.
Really?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Well, about this spontaneous combustion that's occurred randomly here and there, I'm wondering if, you know, there are reports on it saying that these people were suddenly turned to ashes, and maybe they just assumed that they were hot beforehand.
Yes. Yes. Like all of the toasted cars that you see around the area, there are over 1,400 toasted cars that were towed away, as reported. But now what I call toasted, it's toast. It's history. It's, you know, non-repairable. Something weird happened to these vehicles. Like the engine block is gone, but the hood of the car is still intact. The gas tank is still intact.
And the engine block was gone.
Right. And the door handles. They like to eat door handles, whatever it is.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're saying it's a type of weaponry that actually can discombobulate the molecular structure to the point that it's actually turned to dust.
Yes.
Oh, and that's fascinating.
And as I got to looking through all the different characteristics, it's important not to jump to a conclusion, not to be in such a hurry to get to the answer that you don't enjoy the, you know, the view along the way, because you really learn a lot.
Uh-huh. Oh, this is fascinating, Judy. Very fascinating.
And I've got a page, if anyone wants to look at it, from my homepage. You can go to the top, and there's something that says Cliff Notes.
Okay.
And that has a list of some of my favorite pictures.
Well, I think William's going to load that information on a connection onto your website so people can go there and see that.
Yeah, that's right. What is your website again?
DrJudyWood.com. That's DrJudyWood.com.
And we'll have a link on William's website about that information.
Great.
Yeah, so, you know, those of you out there, you know, consider what we're saying here now for a moment. I know it's a brain expander, but, you know, put on your thinking cap. The old saying is, if your mind's made up, you know, how can you be confused by the facts? So
that's a good one.
You know, so let's take off all our old ideas for a moment, throw them to the side, and let ourselves be expanded here for a moment to consider the possibilities of what Dr. Wood here is talking about. Now, you know, Judy, when you first saw the buildings collapse, did you know there was something wrong right from the start?
Yeah, I didn't see him collapse. I thought it looked like a sweater that was unraveling.
Well, you must have saw him collapse on television a thousand times.
Yeah, it looked like a building unraveling, like a sweater.
Mm-hmm. And it started. It seemed to start from the very top.
I expect a building to collapse. Actually, I maybe even looked away from the TV. I was in the faculty conference room. They had the TV on, big screen thing. I think I remember looking away and thinking, now what should it look like? And, you know, you think of something going clunkety-clunk and it hits this and hits that and something else moves here. It's like you see something readjusting and, you know, it's not going to be a uniform, smooth action.
Now, you know, I'm going to lay something out there for people that they may not have heard before. How many of you out there have heard of Marvin Bush? Marvin Bush is part of the Bush family. He is George's older brother. Yes, he is one of the Bush brothers, and he is the one who is in charge of security at World Trade Center.
Oh, oh.
How's that for a coincidence, folks?
Well, I don't know anything about that. I know there's lots of stories. And
yes, that he went in 2 weeks before and somehow planted something in the elevator shaft is the story, the buzzword that's going around.
There's a lot of interesting stories that get planted like that. But what I've done is just blocked out all of the stories and what do I see with my own two eyes.
Right.
Not what people tell me I'm supposed to see.
Mm-hmm.
And you just start looking, just, you know, don't be in a hurry, just keep looking, and you see some amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
All of the buildings. Go ahead.
Oh, well, your research led you to John Hutchison, I noticed, on your website.
About all the buildings.
And,
yeah.
And tell us a little bit about John Hutchison.
Well, how about if we... How I got to that point, and you know, looking at all the pieces of evidence,
yes,
all of the data, and I didn't know what caused it, but I just kept noticing these phenomena. So I give them arbitrary names,
mm-hmm,
kind of generic names, names that we don't use for anything else, but don't have a loaded meaning. You know, like fuzzballs, fuzzy blobs, lather. You know, things that, you know, if you call it smoke, you immediately assume it's a fire.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, nano haze, all sorts of names like that. And I got a pretty good list of things. And, you know, was looking, well, there's all these stories about the molten metal, which from the evidence at the scene, it's impossible to have molten metal. Can you have molten metal at the bottom of a swimming pool?
Yeah. Well,
I can't imagine
it. Steam explosion? I think you'd have a steam explosion as soon as a drop of water hit it. And that's the case for Ground Zero. And all this talk about that, and I'm thinking about steam explosions, that's when water becomes steam, it expands in volume by 1,600 times. A huge change in volume where it suddenly expands.
Mm-hmm.
And here I was looking at... the Tower 2 picture, you know, the tipping top. And suddenly, it looks like all of the material of the building around where it tipped over,
mm-hmm,
the building turned into building steam. It was an analogous, mm-hmm, image,
mm-hmm,
where instead of all the molecules being attracted to each other, they suddenly repelled each other.
Ah, okay. That's interesting.
And that, you know, what would cause that? It's like every single, so that's not a single bomb or anything. It just, mm-hmm, even by itself, ignoring all the other evidence.
So what we're really seeing here is a disassociation of matter.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's more evidence of that it continues. There's this picture I call the fuzzball intersection. It's, let's see if I can direct you to exactly, let's see, zero. Okay, K, fuzzballs, in the index at the top of the page. If you click on that, you'll get to that issue, fuzzballs. That's item K. And that image is of the intersection, a full block north of the North Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture was taken about 15, 20 minutes after the North Tower went poof. The North Tower, and we're slightly upwind, so the air cleared out pretty quickly, and you can see a clear blue sky, deep blue sky in the background.
Right.
So the air's fairly clear. But then you notice around the feet of some of the policemen, you see these, I call them fuzzballs, very, very fine dust kicking up from their feet. Mm. Now, in 15 minutes, or 20 minutes, how could that fine of dust have settled out of the air?
Mm-hmm.
I say coarse dust settled out of the air and then became fine dust.
Mm-hmm.
So
there also seemed to be a lot of debris, paper, a lot of paper flying around.
Yep, paper doesn't burn very well. There's paper and this powder. That's about all.
Mm-hmm.
So dust started breaking down more and more, finer and finer, so fine it starts wafting up. And then pretty soon it wafts up all by itself.
Now, was there a lot of fire after this happened?
There's something that appears like fire here and there, before, during, and after. And I call it cold fires. You get firefighters walking through it, not worried about their pant legs catching on fire. And paper's not burning, yet the metal is got this luminescence about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you got round holes in the windows in that area. Round holes in windows.
That's very bizarre.
If you look just above that K section, you see the firefighters walk through the fires, and then you see, I started naming some of these pictures, the Swiss cheese windows. They look like Swiss cheese.
Hmm.
Everybody knows if you throw a baseball through a window, you get this kind of spiderweb-looking mesh pad. You don't get just round holes or, elliptical or whatever.
Hmm. Sounds like glass-eating virus.
Oh, yeah, instant. If you go up a little bit further, there's the Swiss cheese truck. That's in the windows and marble section.
Now, during that day, we lost two buildings, the Twin Towers.
Oh, and we lost seven buildings.
Number seven went down.
There were seven buildings lost.
Really?
Building three went away, missing in action.
Yeah, exactly. They never figured out what happened to that building.
Damage.
It just disappeared. And building four, the main body, completely disappeared down to the ground level.
Where was that?
It was in the southeast corner of the complex. And
you're saying there were seven buildings. I only knew of three.
Right, only three people talk about, but there were seven buildings.
Hmm.
And there were vertical holes down through them.
Vertical holes.
It, like somebody took a big post hole digger and dug through. Let's see, I don't quite remember where it is on the page.
So you would call this kind of particle weaponry, would you say?
Fired from space?
No, I didn't know where it was from, but when you got round holes in the... Okay, go down to section M, the rate of destruction. Do you see some graphs at the bottom of that? There's three pictures. On the left is a model of the complex.
All right, for everyone listening, where should they go first?
Okay, drjudywood.com.
All right, give everybody a moment to get there. Okay, and we can keep talking about it.
Okay.
And all right, now, you're saying the Swiss cheese effect could be caused by what?
We haven't gotten to that yet. We're just still looking at the data. I know it's torturous. But if you jump to the answer, you don't believe it unless you've witnessed the data along the way.
Now, William, I guess you're at the right page?
That's right.
Okay, now where?
From the home page, at the very top, near the right side, you'll see where it says Cliff Notes.
Cliff Notes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see that here. Just click on that.
Yep.
Okay. I'm there.
That'll take you to, it would start up being my aha moments, pictures that really did something for me. I started adding in all the other significant pictures as well. But in that list of things, you'll see, like, under M, rate of destruction. And in any one of these sections, you can always jump back to the top by clicking on the little index link.
Now, Judy, I'm looking at those photos of this building.
Which on the left and at the top under Cliff Notes.
Now, it looks like some kind of, it's being vaporized.
Oh, you're in the dustification section. Yeah, the building just turns to dust.
Well, we're looking at the pictures on Cliff Notes, the first page, the aha moment. We're looking at the picture on the left and on the right.
This thing is
section B. Right. Yeah, it just turns to dust.
Yeah.
And those outer sets of outer columns, there's three columns wide and three stories tall, the prefab pieces that they made it with. I call them wheat checks because they kind of look like wheat checks. As they fly through the air, you'll notice they don't hit the ground. They dissolve before they hit the ground.
Huh.
Yeah, I see that.
It's turned into dust, into powder.
Yeah,
that's what it's doing.
Yeah, I wondered
that
about that, why
weird.
There didn't seem to be more debris.
Yeah.
And you notice from that picture, figure 7, this is a picture from space, that it goes up. But if you look real carefully, you see some black stuff down there that goes west. The white stuff goes south and up, and the black stuff kind of goes west over the Hudson. So the debris didn't go in the same direction of the fumes, depending on what color they were. So it's different processes going on.
Right. Yeah, this looks very exotic. You know, what went off here?
Yeah, this isn't a collapse.
Right.
Doesn't it look like a building just, turning into steam, building steam?
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the collapse of buildings in Las Vegas, where they go and dynamite the building. It's nothing like this. Nothing like it.
What way does it differentiate?
Down in chunks. If you have a bombs in the building and you control demolition that way, you have chunks that go flying. And the chunks
stay
chunks.
You have the whole building. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you have the whole building there.
Yeah, and the recognizable parts. Oh, one of my most favorite subjects here, toilets. You always see toilets. If a building is destroyed, if they're planning on destroying it, they take out fixtures like that, if they're planning on controlled demolition. But if you have a tornado go through or something like that and the building is destroyed by fire or tornadoes or whatever, you always see parts of toilet fixtures left because they're nice, shiny ceramic pieces. They're very recognizable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We should have had over 3,000 toilets in those two towers alone.
Raining down.
Not a single piece was found.
Amazing. Just amazing. And then I'm looking at this debris field. It has some photos of the debris. It's like, where did this building go?
Well, if you want to scroll down the page, that'd be good. So below that building turning into dust in midair.
Uh-huh.
If you come down further, there's another phenomenon I call lather. It looks like it's lathering up in the shower, getting ready for its demise. The buildings just really lather up. And there's this issue, smoke rings. What's that? Fires don't burn and puff out little smoke rings. And then the lack of heat. And here you got this guy climbing down into a hole. That's the basement tower two.
Right.
And there's a puddle down at the bottom.
A puddle?
Yeah, a puddle of water down there.
A puddle of water. Huh.
And the afternoon of 9/11, a water main broke on West Street, and it kind of turned into a lake.
Uh-huh.
And I've got a picture of that there. And there's people wading out into the middle of it. And as I say, the guy doesn't look like a boiled chicken.
Yeah, do you think that there's less fire than would be normal?
Why would there be a fire?
I don't know. Just all the burning materials that were inside the building. If this were a normal kind of collapse of a building, would there be more flames?
Yeah, if they used thermite in the explosion.
Thermite's a welding material. It doesn't...
ignite?
It melts things. Yeah, it doesn't. It just melts things. It would make the building stronger. And if you get enough thermite to bring that building down, just get down to the ground, it would probably take more thermite than the volume of the building. And the building would probably collapse from the weight of all the thermite, you know, floor to ceiling, every cubic inch, you know, filled with thermite. To destroy, but it doesn't work. And another reason you know, can't have thermite doing it is thermite would be really hot. Imagine all the water tanks in that building.
Right.
Imagine all the steam explosions. Chernobyl was a steam explosion that caused it.
Uh-huh.
So you get a lot of heat around water tank, and you got a huge explosion. Here, there, there. But you do see this, what I call cotton candy, and, you know, coming out of the ground.
Uh-huh.
And we were told those were fires.
Now, in figure 33, what am I looking at here? Exactly.
Let's see. Let me get down to there. that's for building 7. Isn't it amazing that a building, quote, collapses? It turns into a pile of mud?
Yeah. It looks like dirt.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It looked right
that
above that picture.
That is weird looking. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Let's go back to where I was about the fuming streets. You know, the dust breaks down fire and fire until it starts wafting up.
Do you have any photos that we should be looking at? Which photo?
Yeah, the fuzzball pictures.
25?
Let's see. Fuzzballs, that was K. That's 73.
Wow.
They're not in the right order yet. I'm still getting them up there.
Oh, I don't know where that is.
If you at the top of each section, which starts with a blue bar,
okay,
there's a little index, and you can...
Okay,
yeah, section K.
Okay.
Figure 73. Again, you go to drjudywood.com, and at the top is a link that says Cliff Notes. That'll take you here. And you notice there's the policemen. They have these, you know, fuzzballs around their feet. And then you notice the fuzzy stuff starts rising up more and more until it's coming up all on its own without even having to be kicked up. That looks pretty weird. You can't say there's thermite under the streets. That story won't work.
Uh-huh.
So that afternoon, they brought out the street cleaners.
Do you think is that electrostatic, or what do you think caused that?
The finer stuff is. It'll start lifting up.
Some sort of electrostatic effect.
I don't think so. It might be just, you know, regular, if particles get small enough, They don't settle out. They just stay left or rise up.
And you're saying it's minuscule enough to be part of the molecular structure of the air almost.
Yeah, they start just moving up in Brownian motion. But you know, I got to think about that. Okay, how do they hide that? Well, they bring in the street cleaners, scrub the streets. But what do you do with the grass, the lawns, like? The WFC buildings had green lawn in front of them. They're right across the street from the towers. And so I started looking at those. And that's, if you go up to figure 27, the dirt section, it's right above that mud pie picture.
Okay, what section is that? Section I?
Section E.
Section E. Okay.
I need to change the order. But it's the dirt section.
All right. Yeah, we're looking at
that. We're looking at that.
And if you click on figure 27 and get a blow up.
Okay.
That was the first one I saw. I said, wait a minute. This is the lawn. It should be green grass there in front of the WFC building. Why is it covered with potting soil? Brand new, lush potting soil.
Huh.
It appears
we're not looking at the right figure. Here, Bill, go back to the page.
Okay.
I guess we are. Are you looking at, there's a guy with the orange cap on the left
side?
Yeah,
and you see a bucket on the ground.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we see the
And then you see between those two, you know, if you click on the picture, you should get a big one.
Yeah.
A blow-up of it.
Yeah, we did that.
And you can see the potting soil on the ground.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And okay. What's potting soil doing there?
Huh.
There's another photo I have of a crunched-up fire truck. In the cab, under the cab, in the wheels, all over the place. There's just dirt sprinkled all over it.
Which picture would that be?
That one isn't here, but the next picture over, figure 28.
Okay.
That one was taken sometime before or on the 13th. FEMA first entered those pictures in their system on the 13th, and it was in that first batch. But that's brand new dirt.
Huh.
It's brought in. And you can see it piled up like somebody brought in a wheelbarrow and dumped it.
And what do you, what, and that looks like a truck that's squished up there? In front of the, in the front part of the picture? All crumbled
up?
No,
that's just debris.
Okay, that's just debris? And,
yeah, I wonder if they brought that in from a landfill. It kind of looks like it. But then if you look at the pictures in the row below, figure 30, 31, 32, you got dirt trucks coming into town, going out of town.
Well, everybody assumed that they were coming to take loads out.
Right.
But they're coming full of dirt.
They are?
Full of dirt. Yeah, if you look in the truck beds there, they're full.
That's weird.
Look like little bread loaves in there.
Huh.
And you're sure that they're not going out of town in those pictures?
All right, this is going south on West Street, and they're about a block north, right at that fuzzball intersection, actually.
So they're hauling in dirt.
Yep.
And now that building that's behind these trucks in this figure, that's crumbled looking?
Oh, on the left side? This is a modern looking building. You know,
okay. I was wondering if that was art or if that was, what that was.
Some weird architecture.
I guess.
And would you know to this day, they're still trucking dirt in and trucking dirt out.
Really?
And do you think that dirt could be radioactive or what?
Something wrong with it. I'm not going to jump.
There's
to
something
any...
they don't want us to see.
Oh, there's something. So it has a purpose, and we notice they haven't started building on some of the areas yet. Now, mm-hmm. If you look at the picture section right above that, all this fuming from the ground. And they told us that there are fires for 99 days. I think that was the cover story for this fuming.
Where are you speaking of now?
What? Like figure 21, 22, 24, 25, 26. It's right above the dirt section.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, we're seeing this
now. What do you want us to see now?
Well, figure 21, I called it the grilled cheese sandwich picture.
Okay, let's enlarge that.
If that was a grill, you know, as high as a grill, and you're steam cooking something, you know, those guys would be like a grilled cheese sandwich.
Right. They'd be
but they cooked. They have oxy torches with rubber hoses.
Yeah, I see that.
They're not worried about a fire hazard
uh-huh.
or an explosion. It's not hot.
Huh.
So what is that steamy effect?
I believe it's the material continuing to break down.
Okay.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's just like a dust, probably. More like a dust.
Real fine, real fine. And if you notice in the digger, in the next picture over, in figure 22, I call it a digger, my generic term for earth-moving equipment, it has this glowing thing in its jaws. Now, if that were hot, the hydraulics wouldn't work.
Right.
And where is it taking that thing? To the dumpster?
What are we supposed to be seeing here?
Right there.
We're supposed to be seeing what again?
It looks like it's molten.
The Cheeto picture. I call it the Cheeto picture because it looks like a little Cheeto laying on the ground down below. It's a front-end loader or earth-moving equipment thing, and it's got an orange glowing thing in its jaws.
Right. Yeah. 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 We're looking at that.
Now,
what that looks like on fire.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's on fire, but something is glowing. If that is a real picture and that's not photoshopped, see, at first I thought it was photoshopped, but I came to see other pictures, and I believe that might be real. That this is a characteristic of whatever happened. Room temperature luminescence.
Ah, okay, some sort of an exotic effect here.
Yep. Just like the firefighter walking through, you know, fire that where the paper wasn't burning, but the aluminum was.
Uh-huh. Which brings up cold melting of metals.
Yes, there you go.
And John Hutchison.
I think I'm going to have my teeth changed to all porcelain.
Well, I got to doing some searches on the web, and I came up with, I found this thing on the Casimir forces that was on John Hutchison's blog.
Right.
Wait a minute. That's just what it looks like. It looks like all of the stuff is repelling instead of attracting.
Uh-huh.
And then I found some other document there that listed a lot of the things like it has lift or disruption. That's right. The cars sitting upright were toasted, and the cars upside down look like they came from the showroom floor. Come to think of it, why are cars upside down? Why are they parked upside down?
Why do you think?
Levitation.
Whoa. Interesting.
You can
could
see the
could they crash of the building coming down jarred the earth so heavy that they bounced up or something?
Vaporized, my dear.
And you see cars, you know, gently laid
like an earthquake? Could it create kind of an earthquake where the cars jumped up and turned upside down?
But, you know, they tumble when they do that. And they get scratched and dented.
And they'd be upside, and they'd be on their side.
Or and they would be banged up. They wouldn't look fresh as a daisy. You know, the top of each section, I have a little thing that says index. You can click up to the top.
Okay.
And then click on S, Hutchison effect.
Okay.
And that'll take you right to the right section.
Yeah, I had John Hutchison on the show a couple of times. And I'm also pretty good friends with John.
Oh, cool.
And well, I guess his work kind of parallels what we're seeing here in some regard.
Yeah. That first picture I sent him was figure 128. I said, does your neighborhood ever get to looking like this?
Well, maybe a little part of it in his lab.
Or maybe we're lucky he moved out of Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Because we like it there.
and you have marble facade on your building that you don't want to be destroyed.
There you go.
Around the doorway of that building, all the marble facade is gone. No damage
now,
to the other
which
facade.
Sure, is this a you said
figure? What?
Figure 128.
Figure 128. And the quickest way to get there, if you ever are lost on the page, click you know, the top of each section is a little tiny index link.
Well, we're looking for 128 right now.
Okay. I see it.
There we are.
Okay. And
all
you notice that there's a toasted car there, and then in front of it, the car is a car that's parked upside down.
Yes, we see
Can
that.
Can I see that car one?
Right there.
Now, any second picture to the right.
Oh.
Not that, it's the other one.
Looks like a Blazer Chevy.
Yeah, it looks shrunken on the front end, that one. But figure 129, that's another interesting thing I started noticing. The similarities of what you see at the World Trade Center, and weather.
What's that car doing?
What's that car doing there?
On the fence?
Yeah.
That's from a weather event. I think that might have been Hurricane Andrew.
Oh, okay.
Or either of that or 28. It's just sitting on the fence, you know, and it's not damaged.
Right.
Levitation. If it was blown there, it would have tumbled.
It looks like it was carefully placed there.
Yep. And if you notice figure 130, look at that nice underbelly of that car in the foreground.
Uh-huh.
It looks like it came from the showroom floor. Yeah, it's nice looking. You know, why is the car upside down? And if you notice in the distance, you see some truck tires sticking up in the air. And then you notice the trees all have the leaves on them. So if there's this huge gust of wind, why didn't it strip the leaves off the trees?
Right.
Well, now that's a good point.
There's a lot of these weird anomalies like this that it really, you know, appears that these cars, the ones who are that are in good shape are upside down. The ones
did you ever watch that
upright.
Show? Did you ever watch that show? I'm wondering, Judy, called Future Weapons on TV.
Mm-mm.
Well, it's on cable, and it's called Future Weapons, and they go into all this kind of bizarre technology that
see,
we have.
I'm coming from a totally, you know, clean slate,
mm-hmm.
and this is what I have concluded based on what I see in these images. Just looking, you know, without any preconceived ideas. Like, I didn't know anything about energy weapons,
mm-hmm.
but the pictures and the evidence told me such things existed. And if you go a little further down, figure 131, 132, 133, those are from Hurricane Andrew. You have plywood through the tree, 2x4 through the tree.
Yes, we see that.
Where is it now? Okay. Yes. What's that about? Hurricane Andrew?
Yeah.
Well, we were told that that was a HAARP project.
Well, I say that that is some kind of field effects.
Okay.
Okay. Part of the HAARP project that I'm aware of, the higher aerial frequency.
Yeah. It just happened with this thing that they called Hurricane Andrew. I don't know what, you know, I'm not going into that. I'm just staying focused on the data. And and then just noticing these similarities. And then right below that is from the World Trade Center. We have these dissimilar materials blended together.
Judy, we have a question here from the audience. Tim from New Mexico. Bill, could you put Tim on?
Hello,
Tim,
Bill.
You have a question. Hello, Tim.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I was researching Dr. Wood's material there, and, you know, I had been heavily into studying how they have indeed been manipulating these hurricanes over the last few years, and once I come across that particular piece of evidence in Judy's research, I really caught on to that she was probably onto something. Another thing I discovered last night was that the radio antenna on top of Tower 1 was used to broadcast almost all the local TV stations, and as I don't know if Judy mentioned this, but the 9/11 was a psyops. It was a psychological operation on the world. Well, what better way to pull off an event if you're going to slam into Tower 1 with all the local TV stations on so nobody could record things and really, you know, catch on to what happened that day?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Have you come across that, Judy?
No, I know that there's a big TV antenna on the top of the towers, but I didn't know what it, you know, I wasn't paying attention if it knocked it out or not, or what happened from that.
Yeah, because
You're from New Mexico?
Yeah, huh?
The Albuquerque area?
Yeah, Albuquerque, huh?
Uh-huh. Oh, because we've got Mark over there, one of our correspondents from the Albuquerque area.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the reason I brought this up is because I actually re-listened to the Alex Jones show from 9/11/2001. Not that I trust him at all, but he had a guy call in that said that he was across from one of the towers, and all he could see it was a Spanish channel on his TV. He couldn't pick up any of the local TV stations.
Okay. So that indicates that to you that what? What's your conclusion of that?
Well, that, you know, when something like this happens, they don't want people recording the event, because usually the things that are most important happen right when the event's happening. So if they shut down the TV stations from broadcasting, nobody could go back and catch very, very critical things. You mm-hmm. see how that part of the psyops?
Yes.
Hmm.
I also wanted to bring this up, too. because Judy might forget to mention this. This guy, Mineta, is it Norman Mineta, Judy?
I know that, I think he's in charge of what, Raytheon? CEO or former CEO of Raytheon?
He was the former Secretary of Transportation. He's the guy that ordered all our aircraft grounded that day. Well, I just found out that he's a former vice president, I believe, of Lockheed, and they're a sponsor of the Directed Energy Personal Society.
Okay.
So I thought I'd just throw that in, too. Cause...
The Directed Energy Professional Society?
Yeah, the guy that ordered all aircraft in the country grounded that day is the former vice president of Lockheed Martin, which is a sponsor of the Directed Energy Professional Society. So if you connect all these dots together, it really makes sense what Judy's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'll let you get off the air so Judy can continue.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for contributing. And those of you who would like to get in touch with us and have some interaction, you can reach us through your email.
Mm-hmm.
That's william.alec@intellect.com.
That's right.
I-N-T-A-L-E-K. It's right there on the website, and you can get in touch with Dr. Judy at her website. Go ahead, Dr. Judy, and give out your website again.
It's drjudywood.com. That's D-R-J-U-D-Y-D, two four-letter names, .com.
And you can be reached
through
your website.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, on the bio page, there's my email address.
Well, this hour is going by very quickly, and is there any final points you'd like to make before we have to call it a day here?
Oh, I thought it was 2 hours. Well, there's a whole lot of information here to look at, and there's a lot of similarities with the Hutchinson effect. There is a big itch at the bottom. When I got to looking at the fumes and how they went up higher, I wanted to get a better image, so I went looking for weather satellite images. If you go to section V, it's really near the bottom. You can see a big, huge hurricane that was right outside of New York City on 9/11.
Right. Yes.
And hurricanes have field effects.
So you're saying?
It's like a supersized Tesla coil.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I see that. It looks very formidable.
And probably the biggest thing I'd like to emphasize today is that this isn't about, you know, a political matter or about some bad guys with box cutters, you know, doing whatever. This was a demonstration of free energy.
Okay.
And it's important that we see that. It was a perfect demonstration, but we can use it for good.
Mm-hmm.
Not evil purposes.
That's right. That's right. But here, you know, we're seeing this nation, and the whole world is looking at this exotic technology here. And you suspect that he's using something along the lines of the Hutchinson effect, and you went to go and see John Hutchinson. And what we're looking at here is a cold melting of metals. And, you know, I did some research in this area myself a couple of years back, and I came to the conclusion that cold melting of metals involves an exotic cold current phenomena, you know, that we're looking at a complex current flowing through metals. And what John was able to demonstrate is this cold melting process.
And that's what it seems to be. We saw in the vehicles as well.
Yes, John is able to demonstrate anti-gravity effects, too, with his technology.
As far as I could tell, it was a perfect match of, you know, every single anomaly that I had categorized. It was seen also in the Hutchinson effect. And there's something else that was very creepy when I found it in some of the literature about his work, that if the mass is large enough, it is not self-quenching. And what we have in New York City is something that is not self-quenching. It is still ongoing. That is why they repaired the Bankers Trust building, only to decide to take it back apart.
They now, why that is
gash
that?
In the front. It's continuing on, and it's you know, huge deterioration, super rust in just, you know, minutes.
Uh-huh.
I heard the reason they picked the World Trade Towers to discombobulate was because the metal that was used was a metal they had never used before in buildings. It was very light, like airport, like a airplane metal, and that it was actually starting to buckle, and they were going to have to detonate the buildings anyway. And so this was a way for them to recoup their insurance money.
Well, if you had to take those buildings down, if you were hired to demolish those buildings, you couldn't afford to do it. The only way to get rid of those buildings legally would be to take them apart, to unbuild them piece by piece, because if those buildings, you know, got detonated, they're going to tip over and take out all of Manhattan. Another aspect is the bathtub. The base of the building is below the water table. It's down on bedrock, 7 stories below ground.
Okay.
And there's a protective bathtub that goes around there, and there's a PATH train tunnel that goes under the Hudson up into the bottom of the bathtub. That was not damaged. The bathtub was not significantly damaged. You have 2 500,000-ton buildings slamming to the ground, and it doesn't damage it?
Mm-hmm.
How much do these buildings weigh?
500,000 tons.
It's phenomenal.
And we're figuring that most of that building was vaporized.
Vaporized has a meaning. Usually, you know, heated up and cooked. I say dustified.
Dustified.
It's a new process. It deserves a new word.
Mm-hmm.
It was turned to dust.
And so what you think we have going on here is this Hutchison effect in metals.
In all material.
Okay.
Glass, metal.
Yeah, and if you look at all the windows around the surrounding buildings, they have these round holes in them.
Uh-huh.
And specific materials get affected sooner than others, like marble.
Judy, our time has come to an end, and it's been so fascinating. Can we have you back again?
Sure.
We'd love to. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Yes, thank you, Judy.
Sure.
And those of you out there who are looking for a source of information on what's going on, make sure you stay tuned for next week's Vortex Network News, where we'll again tackle some interesting topics. And Bill, thank you for being a fabulous host here and adding the technical side to the conversation with Judy.
And again, your website, Judy?
DrJudyWood.com.
Okay, well, thank you for coming on the show.
And thanks for having me.
Okay, coming up next is Michael Elejon as he explores cutting-edge contact with cosmic beings. That's next on Achieve Radio. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you for being with us.